But on the big night in, let's have a chat with a bloke who, well, defies all logic, to be frank. And he's a man of science and medicine. He's an A&E doctor, and he goes by the name of Tigger. But that's not his real name. His real name is Dr. Chris Target. And he's embarking on a journey that the likes of Ewan McGregor would be shy about. Welcome to the studio.
Good evening, Antonia.
Tell us what you plan to do early next year.
Well, I'm hoping to leave in January and do a 21,000 mile solo unsupported motorcycle ride around the world, down to all through Africa and then over to Nepal and all the way back home again.
Where on earth did this idea come from?
The depths of my subconscious. I got into biking when I was a munchkin at college, and I instantly thought that this was what I wanted to do, and it's taken me about 13, 14 years to actually get in the right position to be able to do it.
You hear of people deciding to set themselves a mission or a challenge, if you like, and that could be training for a marathon, you name it. People like to go rock climbing, Three Peaks Challenge, and it's all incredibly heroic. 20,000 miles on a motorbike on your own. Little bit scared?
Well, challenges are all sort of person specific. You know, if the idea of training myself for a marathon is far scarier than doing something I love under difficult circumstances. I mean, it's a challenge I want to do. I think a challenge you don't want to do is far more of a challenge. I'm excited about doing this. My mother is truly terrified. She thinks I won't come back alive. But that bit of it doesn't worry me at all. I just want to get out there.
Have you written to the likes of Ewan McGregor and Charlie What's-His-Name?
Mr. Borman. I've sent them an email, but they, as of yet, haven't replied. I've had lots of people who are being really helpful and helping out on bits of the trip, like the flights and some kit for the bike. I'm still looking for people who are interested in companies who are interested in partnering the trip and lending some support, both logistically and financially. And all of your lovely listeners are very welcome to have a look at our website and donate a few hard-earned pennies if they can spare them.
That was subtle.
Oh, well, I try my best.
I want to find out how you prepare for something like this, but before we continue to have a good old chinwag, let's find out how the roads are looking across the eastern counties. If you've just tuned in, welcome to the Big Night In on BBC Cambridgeshire and three counties, fingers crossed, and then the rest of the local radio stations across the eastern counties will join us. But let's find out how the main roads are looking around the county. Fingers crossed, nice and relaxed after a long weekend, I hope. Breakfast at Spitalfields. Well, he'll be lucky to have that if he's on his motorbike, Dr. Chris Target. You'll be munching on a leaf or something from the middle of the jungle by the sounds of where you're going over the next...
I'll eat whatever the locals are eating. That's part of the trip. That's the fun of going on a bike. You're so much more in contact with the environment and the people you're passing. So if whatever the locals eat, I'll eat. Probably a better way of than getting the squits, I suppose.
Yeah, have you met Bear Grylls yet? Possibly, if you are going to be one man and his motorbike riding around 20,000 mile stretch of towns and cities and countries halfway round the world, have you had a chat with Bear?
Not yet. No, he's on my calling list.
Will you be avoiding the urban side of things? Will it be kind of mainly a rural track?
Well, I suppose urban in the sense of a first world perspective is a big city. I don't know how big some of the cities I'm going to be passing through are. I kind of want to see and experience every facet of it. There's a few places that I'm steering clear of for the sake of my partner's and mum's blood pressure, but on the whole I'm just going whatever seemed the logical place to go.
And remind us, because BBC Three Counties, hello, just joined us, I hope you're all right, just joined us, remind us where you're going around your journey, just to explain.
Well, I'm going to be starting off, one of the charities I'm supporting is MagPass, the regional air ambulance charity, and so I'm going to be starting from their helipad, and then I'm scooting across Europe, down over into Egypt, down into following the Nile, into Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, popping across Tanzania. You're pushing my geographical knowledge now. I should know this, shouldn't I?
And it's Mozambique, also South Africa.
Miss Malawi.
Malawi.
Swaziland, and
Nepal.
Then South Africa, over to Nepal, then through the Himalayas, which will be a nice change of temperature, down across Pakistan, skirting the border with Afghanistan, over into Iran, and then Turkey, Greece, Macedonia, Bulgaria, Romania, and then pootle back home.
Or cruel, one of the two, don't know. Whimpering quietly. No, it's going to be great.
Well, touch wood.
Yeah. So there's two charities. You name one of them. What's the other charity you're raising money for?
Well, I wanted to do one foreign and one domestic. So Magpass is my domestic charity, but the foreign charity is Riders for Health. They're a charity that provide motorbikes and logistics to get healthcare workers to remote villages in Africa. So that seemed a nice combination of motorcycles and medicine, which are the two big things in my life.
You've got to have a big motorbike in order to be able to do that journey.
Sir Humphrey Bikleby is his name, and he's rather large, yes.
And large enough to have a lot of luggage and a lot of medical supplies, I'm thinking.
Well, I'm taking some thread to sew myself up. As an A&E doctor, I can do that. I'm taking a few bits and pieces from my back, as I've got a dodgy one of those. But the rest is going to be a few pairs of pants and a few pairs of T-shirts and spares, stuff to cook with, sleeping bag, tent, just the basics, really. I mean, that's, for me, is half the adventure.
This is a far cry from owning your own pub, for example, isn't it?
Funny you should mention that. It is a little bit different. It's a little newer. The pub is 426 years old. When I was unable to work as a doctor for a couple of years through a high jumping injury, I did work in a pub. Owned a pub for a couple of years.
And this was up towards Norfolk Way, was it?
It was just in Diss, just north of Diss, near the Norfolk-Suffolk border. Yeah, it was an interesting time. It's a little bit different to A&E, although not that different on a Friday night. But
I was going to say, the puns are going to come out. But did you do the kind of chefing side of things, or was it front?
A bit of everything, which was why I wasn't able to do it for too long. It was a bit much for the old back. But no, I was the head chef there for a while. But I was born into that. My mum's a chef. My sister's a chef. I was been cooking since I could stand up and reach the worktop with my mum. So it's just all comes quite naturally, really.
So you'd be able to grab a leaf and a blade of grass and a kind of, I don't know, killer squirrel from a...
You're making me really hungry. I don't know if I want to do this now.
Food is very important, Dr. Chris.
It is. I've been told.
Especially if you are setting off on some incredible journey like the one you're going to.
Well, I'm going to have a little bit of emergency freeze-dried, dehydrated nosh in case I get stuck at a border for a couple of days, which inevitably is bound to happen. But the rest of the time, I'll just poodle around and see what happens. That's the point of it being an adventure. If I knew what was going to happen, then that would just be like life.
If you just joined us on The Big Night In on the BBC across BBC Cambridgeshire and Three Counties Radio, how are you? Hope you're well. In the studio, Dr. Chris Target, who is a Hinchingbrook A&E doctor, motorcyclist, landlord of local pub. Look at the way that I'm bigging you up here.
I like it.
Juggles
if
oranges.
If people meet me, they're going to be really disappointed.
How do you prepare for something like that? We're going to come back and talk to Chris after this. Lily Allen and Smile. Back to Tigger, otherwise known as Dr. Chris Target. Tigger, where did Tigger come from?
Well, the Target as a surname meant that both my sister and I were called Tiggy when we were at school, but that progressed on to becoming Tigger, and what with the high jumping and the generally loud obnoxiousness.
Yeah, hang on one second. What, you high jumped as a small child?
Not quite as a small child. As a medium-sized child, I was national high jump champion.
Look at you!
That was a long time ago. I'm twice the man I was then, in the sense of that I'm probably at least twice the mass that I was when I won that.
Less of that. Nothing wrong with being curvaceous, young man.
Well, from your point of view, I agree, but from mine, I'm not so sure.
Listen, if you're going to be motorcycling 20,000 miles around the other side of the world, you're going to need some
emergency
extra calories.
They're not man boobs, they're emergency fuel rations. That's what they are.
What do they call them? Moobs.
Yes.
That's what they're called.
Well, that and Sam calls the love handles muffin tops.
This beautiful expression that Sam is your girlfriend.
Yes, yes, she's here with me today.
It's great. And just a little wave in the background. I know that Sam's just going to be in the background for the time being, but we'd love to have a chat with her later on, I think, closer to your journey.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prepare for something like a one-man motorbike journey?
I think the most important thing is deciding to do it. Not in the sense of that you want to go, you're thinking you will do it. You just make the decision that you are going to do it. And for me, that was not applying for a job that would have started in August this year. And so by not doing that, I made myself unemployed for at least a year. Therefore, I had to do it. And it was that step of certainty, that absoluteness, which made it a made sure it was going to happen. After that, then organising the minutiae is just a lot of hard work.
That's a lot of organising, because if you're going from the likes of Tanzania to Iran to Turkey across Europe, that's a lot of B&Bs, or are you literally sleeping in a tent all the time?
Oh, I'm going to play it by ear. I think I could probably do with a hotel room or something resembling one every week or so, just to wash the smalls. But apart from that, I need to keep it as cheap as possible. It's not, I mean, I'm not doing this for a free holiday. I'm doing this to try to raise £100,000 for, you know, really important causes. So I can't exactly afford any luxury.
What about the money it's going to cost for you to survive around this incredible journey?
Well, to survive, I think it's going to be around £10,000. I've guesstimated about £4,000 for petrol, another, all the rest, visas, repairs to the bike, transporting like down the Aswan ferry from Egypt into Sudan, etc. And food should come in at around about £5,000. So I'm guesstimating around £10,000, and it's probably cost me about £15,000-16,000. So far. I mean, I've been doing locum doctoring, extra work over the last 2 years to build up the money, because I don't think it's fair if I'm going to, obviously I bought a motorcycle and I don't expect anyone to pay for, help give me money to do that. But I am hoping that some companies will help me with my fuel costs and
surely
like
a company
that.
Somewhere is going to jump on board and...
I hope so. I'm working very hard and throwing an awful lot of poo at the wall, hoping some of it will stick.
Nice expression.
Thank
beautiful.
You. It's that turn of the phrase that makes me such a popular doctor.
Yes.
And the grannies weep.
Seen it all before, thanks very much. Yes. When you talk to people about this, do they think you're off your rocker?
Generally. There's two types of reaction. The first one is that slightly head tilted back saying, but what about, and up come, will come certain countries, which I'm sure we can all imagine if you're going down Africa and, you know, pretty close to the Middle East, and saying, but what about that? But what about that?
Wonderful
and
cultures, but when you're on your own and,
yeah,
you know, on a motorbike and you're sleeping in a tent, you got to look after yourself.
Indeed.
In the wild, haven't you?
And other people go, wow, that's amazing. And people do generally fall into those two categories. Fortunately, no one says, what about the spiders? Which is handy, because I just... ignorance is bliss for me. I desperately don't want to know about things with eight legs on the trip.
What I'm going to say is you're going to need a lot of jungle formula. Other insect repellents are available. Just the thought. You see, I'm such a girl. I mean, obviously, I am a girl, but despite the deep voice. But I don't really know where my imagination would go if I were in a little tent in the middle of some jungle.
Well, then again, I think if I'm not going to be able to shower twice a day, so I think I'm going to be producing my own natural insect repellent as I
nice.
Go along.
You've set up a website, and I know you're going to do a blog. What's your website?
It's www.tiggerstravels.org.
We'll come back to Chris. More chats to be had, but just to remind you of the Cosmic Chord, if you've never heard this before on The Big Night In, Sue Marchant's normally here across the Eastern Counties. She's back tomorrow. What we've done is we've taken a cheeky little snippet from a well-known, a real classic song. It's not much, though, I have to be honest with you, and all I need you to do is tell me who you think it is. That's it. I can't give you any clues. Don't know why I'm putting on a little voice. But if you know, why not pick up the phone and call 0845 30 50 007? That's the phone number. If you can tell me the title and the artist or band. Doesn't necessarily have to be solo. Or you can text Sue to 81333 and your texts will be charged at your standard network rate. You can always email me. It's antonia.brickell@bbc.co.uk. Oh, and another cryptic clue.
What is it?
Long and smooth is the clue. Sue Marchant, who is off tonight, thank you for that clue. And yes, this is a family show.
What is it?
Long and smooth, a cryptic clue. I need you to come up with the answer. Oh dear, I'm feeling quite weak and it's only 6:40. If you just tuned in, you're thinking, oh my god, oh no, the tune has got stuck. No, it's all part of my cunning plan, you see. She said, stroking her beard. I don't actually have a beard, I just want to. That was just a...
just your really long hair.
Yes. Who do you think is the person behind that particular track? Any ideas at all? And the title. Why not give us a call? 0845 30 50 007 is the number to get through to us. If you want to text, if you put Sue before 81333, you can join in with the big night in if you can tell us who is the person or the people behind the cosmic chord. In the studio, Tigger, otherwise known as Dr. Chris Target, who's about to get on his motorbike, and he alone will be riding around countries like just to name but a few, you name it pretty much, from Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, Malawi, Kenya, Nepal, Europe and the UK, South Africa and Malawi, Kenya, Ethiopia, Sudan, and that's not even all of the countries. You've got quite somebody, a bit of a hero behind you already, haven't you, for this?
Well, yeah, ever since I was a boy, I used to come home, because I was at school on Saturday mornings, come home and watch the truck racing, which was, and the European and world champion was Steve Parrish. I'm sure many of your listeners would have seen him on the TV yesterday, because he presents the MotoGP, the BBC coverage of that. And in fact, he was, the year I was born, Steve Parrish came fifth in the world championship. I'm not one for having heroes, but Steve Parrish is one of mine. And so I emailed him, and I didn't expect to ever hear anything back, but it's worth a try. Emailed back the next day. I've already been to meet him and his wonderful partner at their pub, and they're already behind me. He's tweeted about the trip because he's got 5,000 people following him. They're just the most wonderful people. They say never meet your heroes. I think I might have to try it a bit more often, because I've really only got one and I've met him and he's bloody marvellous.
Oh, that's marvellous. Again, marvellous. That's going to be the word. So nice bloke then.
Really, really nice down-to-earth bloke. Pocket person, but he's a biker, so, you know, they're all kind of small.
Can't you just pop him in your pocket and take him around the world pretty much with you and your motorbike?
I see. I could probably do that for a few people. I think someone would notice if Steve Parrish went missing. I know I'd notice if someone popped him in his pocket. It's as if I've got a second dad. I've seen him every other Sunday on the telly for years. And years, and it sort of, you feel, it's the same way most people feel about famous people. You don't actually know them, but you sort of feel you do, because it's one of the people I see more than I see some of my best friends, because we're all spread out all over the world now.
Congratulations, that is brilliant to have him on your side as well, and his love of motorbikes and all things mechanical. And I haven't asked you the question about why you're doing this.
Oh, I suppose I should come up with something more poignant than because it's there. Because I want to have an adventure and I want to do something for the greater good beyond my normal job. And to be honest, I'd kind of like to do the greater good and get it out of the way and get back on with being nice and selfish for the rest of my life. So I thought I'd do a grand adventure and try to raise money whilst doing it. So it feels ticks two boxes at once.
There's definitely, with a capital D, a book in this, isn't there?
Well, I'd have to learn how to write first.
Don't be silly. Seriously, there is a diary there's, you name it, memoirs, people you've met along the way.
Well, I'm hoping to blog. Some very wonderful people have already offered to host a blog for me. Obviously, being a doctor, for some reason that's beyond me, does seem to open a few doors. So one of the BMJ's websites, I'll be blogging for them and some of our local and regional press, and obviously on my own website as well. So that'll be a bit of practice. And then, yeah, Chris the author, scary. You've read an email from me. It's near incoherent.
No, he's lying. He's putting himself down. This is going to be one exciting experience. I say one, there's just going to be thousands of experiences as part of this. You've just tuned in and just talking to a doctor, an A&E doctor who's about to get on a bike and, you know, just ride around incredible countries on his own, as you do. If you'd like to find out more about Tigger's Travels, it's all the W's, of course, tiggerstravels.org. We've got some really good music for you up until 10 o'clock on the big night in. A little bit more extended version. I say little. Forget the little. We're normally on from 7 till 10 and at 6 till 10. And we've got some brilliant musical talent to come. And also, Annie in Peterborough, thank you very, very much for the call. If you'd like to get through to us this evening, it's 0845 30 50 007. Why is my chair so squeaky? It's very strange. Anyway, in the studio, Tigger, Dr. Chris Target, talking about his motorcycle journey, which he's about to embark on, even. Oh, sorry, it's an interesting
I'm embarking
phrase.
On it.
I'm embarking. Hello, hello. It sounds a little bit like that. Annie in Peterborough was saying, are you going to get distracted by going through places, Chris, where people are in need?
Well, I don't want to sound overly callous, but I'm sort of trained for that as part of my job. I see people, dozens of people in need every day. If I treated them as overly holistic people, as individuals, my job is to make them better.
And to remind people you are an A&E doctor.
Yes. And so it's important to be able to take a step back, to be able to do the job. When I very first started medicine, I found it quite difficult to separate myself from the human on the other side. And to be a good holistic doctor, you need to still feel that, you know, empathy and emotion, but when you become more experienced, you have to take a step back because you want to do the best for that person and do the best for them and the next person and the next person, is to keep a degree of detachment, and you know what you're doing is for in the greater good and for their benefit. And it's the same thing when I'm going through Africa, seeing in the need, knowing that I'm doing that will be helping them, will be, you know, enabling these people to access some healthcare. For some, the first time in their life, and the only access some of them will have to healthcare, because I'll be going through the remoter regions. So it will be heart-wrenching to a degree, but that's the job and that's the trip.
It takes incredible strength to be in an A&E ward, and as you say, clearly you can't let your emotions take over, because otherwise you're no use to anybody in an emergency. But, you know, as a woman who cries when Pinky argues with Perky, I'm terrible. I've been even known to kind of get involved in adverts. I'd be awful.
Some people are born different from others. I'm a caring person. I cry at the end of Saving Private Ryan, but I find it it comes more naturally to me to be able to take that step back and think of the bigger picture.
And what about the time limit? Because you are, as we've mentioned, you are going to be on your motorbike travelling around a lot of countries, you know, 20,000 miles. Circumnavigation is 24,000 miles, isn't
it? Well, since I first contacted you, the 20,000 has become 21,000, because some lovely people in Cape Town in South Africa have said, if you come as far as Cape Town, we'll help you get to Nepal. So I'm now not stopping at Johannesburg. I'm going straight through down to Cape Town. So it's 21,000 miles, and it's 21,000 miles in about 6 months. Reason being that, obviously, I want to be an A&E doctor and or an anaesthetist, because my dream is to work for Magpass one day, so I need that sort of experience. So the interviews for my job for August 2012 is at the end of January, and the job will start in the beginning of August 2012. So that's the gap I've got, and that's about 6 months.
And the reason why you've chosen those charities, I mean, a MAGPAT, you said you want to be a MAGPAT doctor. I know that they are A&E doctors that volunteer time to bring A&E to the scene, aren't they? And so for you, that's fulfilling in a different way.
But that's not the reason I feel so passionately about MAGPAT. Not only, you know, it's an amazing organisation, we're all lucky that we as a country donate so much money to have services like that. But on a more personal level, my beautiful, amazing partner, Sam, when she was seven, her and her mother's lives were saved by two MAGPAS doctors. And if it wasn't for MAGPAS, I wouldn't have met the most beautiful, wonderful woman in the world. And I've got to do something to pay that back.
Riders? Why did you choose Riders?
Well, because it just seemed right to do something foreign as well as domestic. I don't want to be travelling around the world. Like the point that the listener phoned in about, I wanted to do something for the people that I'm meeting. And Riders are motorcycles and medicine, and it just seemed the natural, logical choice. That, and I think my hero, Steve Parrish, he's a patron of their charity. I've known of them for a while. And because I'm going to some of the countries that they work in, I'll be able to pop in and see firsthand what they're doing. So it just sort of clicked, really.
Oh, certainly. You talked about emotion for a moment. I was beginning to well up. Oh, my word. You're a very brave man. Brave or mad, one of the two.
To be brave, I think you have to know the risk that you're putting yourself through. I choose not to think about that. I'm quite happy. I've decided I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. Why worry about those things you can't change?
I think it's an absolutely amazing mission you've set yourself. It's www.tiggerstravels.org is the website. Is that the best way to contact you if
yes,
anybody would like to help?
Well, if anyone would, from a few pennies towards the charities. We've got an online giving site, so any donations there will go straight to MAGPAS and Riders for Health. But there's a contact page on there for if anyone, any local businesses or anyone has any ideas or advice. I haven't done a 21,000-mile round-the-world trip before, so any advice, any patronage, any companies would like to be associated with us. I know I'm currently organising to have a big charity ball when I get back at the wonderful people at Chilford Hall in Cambridge who offered me their venue, and so anyone could help out with that. Basically, drop us a line and I'd be great to talk to anyone and everyone about the trip.
Chris, congratulations. I know you haven't started on the trip yet, but I do think just the fact that you've come up with the idea and you are setting yourself not just any mission. And I think that the people that set themselves a challenge, that's incredible in its own right. But this is very, very different. I think this is unique, isn't it? I don't think I've ever heard of other people doing the same.
Going back, anyone who wants to be an adventure bike rider knows of Ted Simon, the gentleman who went round the world for seven years on a tiny motorcycle. There's lots of other people. Simon Pavey, who've gone around the world on a race bike. But I think the people who've got in the news, like Mr. Borman and Mr. McGregor and others, they've got support. They and the others don't have the time pressure. So I'm just one guy out there with no backup, no support, and got to do it in a bit of a rush. So I think it's fairly unique. I'm sure lots of people will write in and tell me, no, I'm not. But to do it all and do it in 6 months and do it for charity, hopefully that'll capture some imaginations.
I think that's an understatement of the year. Chris, thank you very, very much. Good luck. And I no doubt there's going to be all sorts of people interested in how the journey goes. So if you'd like to find out a little bit more and you missed that website and you'd like to support Chris, if you want to give us a call, it's 0845 30 50 007.